My name is Niall Gallen. I'm a Donegal playwright. Tonight on Highland Radio, I have the privilege of having my play aired. Minas Gibán is my debut work and has been adapted for radio by Elusive Theatre in conjunction with Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter's 10th Literary Festival anniversary. I hope you enjoy.
"3 o'clock," he said, "not a moment sooner. You'd swear that PJ Cullen was a taxi driver in New York, the way he goes on about the pressure on him when you ask him to do a job."
"It would have been a lot quicker to get a taxi man from New York, and probably a lot cheaper too."
"I'd pay £100 to see my boy home again and get him and his new intended wife safe and sound to Minas Gibán. And her to be a solicitor in downtown Chicago. Wait till that old Margaret O'Reilly hears that. And her with her long, narrow neck."
"Aye, Betty. The boy has done well for himself. His father would be proud of him. God rest his soul. I should have gone away myself years ago. And me with the brains I have."
"It would have been a terrible loss to the area if you had left, Tom."
"Aye. I would have broken a lot of hearts."
"Broke hearts? You would have broken John James O'Flaherty's pub."
"With the few pints I take, I wouldn't think so."
"Stop with your gibberish. You're holding me back. I've a pile of work to do with visitors coming to the house. That's if that wee bony arse of a Cullen ever gets them here." "Ah, Jesus, Sean, where are you going with that lamb? Don't you know we have visitors coming to the house?"
"Up you get, Uncle Tom. This wee boy's funnered. Find him up in the top field."
"Easy now.
A few hours in the box and he'll be top. The amount of lambs you save, Uncle Tom. It's not a great start for the wee critters when they come to and the first thing they see is your scrawny owl arse sitting on them."
"A young solicitor from America. She'll think we're savages with animals in the house."
"Well, we can't put Uncle Tom outside now, can we? All this fuss for Patrick and his new wife-to-be."
"Ah, your brother has worked hard. And too bad we can't put on a bit of a spread for him when he comes home."
"Aye. He'll be as happy to be home as that wee lamb under Uncle Tom with a belly full of beastances."
"Can you give Uncle Tom a wash and put on his Sunday coat?"
"Oh, Jesus. I get me end if I'm washed in this weather."
"The rest of us and the Yankee woman will get our ends if you're not washed."
"Take him out to the barrel, Sean."
"Come on. These Yankee women love a clean Irishman."
"Perhaps a wee dab of the aftershave too."
"Aye. Old brute for an old brute." "He was after major surgery."
"Oh, I'm foundered. If that box was big enough, I should be in it with the wee lamb myself."
"I know what box I'd put you in."
"Well, that's fine talk. I'd be in the box soon enough with all my ailments."
"Your ailments seem to leave you, and you get a wee spring in your step, like a wee spring lamb, when you head down to O'Flaherty's for a belly full of porther."
"The porter keeps me lubricated."
"Aye, your back end. Whisht, is that a yawk I hear? I hear stones rattling on the street. Jesus, it's them. Where's my brush? Straighten that owl buck up and wipe his face. They're here."
"Ah, Mammy, it's good to see you."
"Welcome home, son."
"Can I introduce my intended, Paige Kennedy?"
"I'm very pleased to meet you."
"It's an honour, Mrs. Grant."
"Ah, call me Betty, like everyone does."
"Elizabeth, introduce this fine girl to the rest of us."
"This is Tom, though people call him lots of other names. And this is my youngest, Sean."
"I'm very pleased to make your acquaintance, Sean."
Pleased to meet you too."
"I'll put the kettle on. Yous must be starving."
"Aye, for a good cup of tea. That'll be great."
"May I use the washroom?"
"It's the barrel out at the side of the house. They had me out on it this morning. It's awful."
"Excuse me?"
"If you need to wash it, it's the barrel out of the side of the house."
"Down the hall, to your right."
"You stop frightening that poor girl. She'll think we're right savages."
"What's in that box?"
"A founder lamb."
"Excuse me?"
It's a wee lamb that was born outside last night and the weather wasn't kind to it, so we had to take him in to get him warmed up. After he's well enough, we'll put him back out with his mother.
Oh my God, that is just amazing.
It will end up a wee runt with no value and will extend my brother's list of cripples that he has saved over the years. He has a field full of these wee books. Three legs, one eye, and God knows what else that he gets attached to and never sells.
Well, I think it's wonderful.
I've saved hundreds, probably thousands, if the truth was known with this wee box.
Aye, it's hard work sitting on your arse all day.
That's enough of that dirty chat. We have visitors. Patrick, did anyone see you coming through the village?
Does anyone get through that village without being seen?
Them bucks in the pub would smell a dollar in a man's pocket from 10 miles away if they thought they might get a free drink off him.
We'll go down to the village this weekend, to the wee local pub, so you can meet some people.
Sure, that would be lovely for all of us to go.
Smell of a dollar in a man's pocket.
Will it be casual wear or formal wear? What's the dress code?
A wellies and overalls.
Patrick, if you show Paige to the top room, you can have Sean's and he can sleep in with Uncle Tom.
Oh, Jesus! That boy chats shite and asleep all night. I won't get a wink.
Mother, there's no need. I can share with Paige.
I will not have Father Maguire land up here with the bishop for that carry-on and maybe make us take the October stations. I won't hear another word on it.
I'll just go and freshen up if you would be so kind as to show me to my room. It was lovely meeting you all. Good day, Sean.
Jesus Christ, you frightened the life out of me. Thought it was old Mahan back from the grave.
Excuse me, old Mahan?
Old Mahan, the buck that owned the bog. He's been dead 50 years now.
Well, thank you, Sean Grant. I know I'm a bit pale, but I didn't think I looked like a ghost.
No, just a sudden rattle is all.
You seem happy in your work. What's that tune you were whistling?
Not sure, really. Remember my father whistling it.
Wow. You must have a great memory if you remember hearing it as a young child.
It's the thing when you're that young. You never forget. The good and the bad.
It must be fantastic to grow up in a place like this.
Fantastic? Sure, even the sheep are trying to escape.
Patrick doesn't speak much about his father.
Aye. Looking back now, I think her father's death really affected him. He was only young, and he was expected to be the man of the house after her dad died. He became the provider. At least that's the role he took on.
He never speaks of it.
Well, why would someone want to speak about something that hurt them?
Maybe he should have seen a counsellor.
Jesus, Minishka Ban is full of counsellors, and my mother has loads of money to throw at them so her son could tell a professional he was heartbroken.
I guess you're right. Can I ask what your father was like?
Not much to tell. He was born in that wee house down there. He grew up here. He met my mother and had two sons. His brother, Uncle Tom, had lived with him in the house, and it was just the two of them in that house before he got married. His parents lived in the same house before him, my grandparents.
And what happened to him?
He took the bad thing.
The bad thing?
Aye, big C. He used to take pains in his stomach. He failed away. He only lasted a few months.
Oh, that's terrible. You poor boys.
I don't remember much. I suppose how could I? I was only away. I do remember him in bed and me and Patrick in beside him. It was turf time. My poor father was annoyed he couldn't cut the turf. He was too unwell, you see. Patrick told him that me and him would cut the turf. Remember my father smiled and told him to cut plenty for it would be a cold winter.
But you were only children.
I know. My poor father was only teasing him, but that didn't stop Patrick taking me with him and getting the turf spade out of the barn and heading up towards the bog.
And did you cut some?
No, we fell out before we got to the bog. We couldn't agree on who'd use the turf spade. So I hit Patrick on the side of the head with it. In the end, there was no turf cut.
Oh, your poor mother.
She stayed strong for us, I suppose. Anyway, listen, how's your stay been so far? I hope all's good.
I can't believe I've only been here for a few days. It feels much longer. It's so magically peaceful.
Aye, out here in the peace and quiet is better than any counsellor. That, and you don't have to pay for it.
It really is. Do you think you'll ever leave here?
Leave here? Where would I go? It's not every city that Uncle Tom would live in, you know.
Well, it's just... Well, how do I put this? I think you would do well for yourself.
Do well for myself? You mean work hard, earn a ball of money and come home to impress the locals down the pub by filling their bellies with stout and having a nice bride on my arm?
Oh, I didn't mean to offend you.
I'm not offended. I find it funny that people's definition of doing well is how much money they have in the bank.
My God, you and Patrick are so different.
Maybe we just like different things.
Well, what if you liked the same thing?
Do you want a mouthful of tea? The old tea is the ruination of this country. Tea addicts we are.
I thought it was the drink the Irish loved.
No, the tea has done more harm than the drink. For every man, woman and child is on the tea.
I enjoy your banter.
Whisht.
Pardon me?
Get down. It's Sweet Pants.
Excuse me, what?
Sweet Pants, the book that has Mahon Bog taken. If he sees me fixing the ditch, he'll know I had sheep grazing on his land.
So let me get this straight. You were the one who made the hole to let the sheep into his field?
Well, the sheep can hardly move the rocks by themselves, can they? Hold on. I think he's gone.
Why is he called Sweet Pants?
It was Uncle Tom called him that. He wears funny trousers.
Funny trousers?
Aye. Light-coloured ones. Listen, he's a retired guard with plenty of money to bid high at auctions. And them boys aren't real farmers. They've no clue how to work the ground.
You mean they wouldn't know how to open a hole into a neighbouring field to let the sheep graze?
And not a word about the hole. My mother would have me down the priest's house if she knew.
It'll be our secret.
Whoosh.
What?
It's the bell ringing.
The bell?
Aye, Mammy rings the bell when the dinner's ready.
That's fascinating. She really rings a bell?
Sure. How else would I know when the dinner's ready? She'd hardly send Uncle Tom up to get me. It'll be supper time by the time he got here. We better take the shortcut home.
The shortcut?
Aye, over the ditch through Mahon's Bog. And we better go quick, because if Wiggy is there first, well, let's just say it wouldn't be the first time he had half my purdies eaten by the time I got home.
I hear that young Grant fella's home from America. Hopefully he'll call in for a few pints and share his good fortune with the dry-tongued locals this evening.
Aye, Sean was saying his mother's delighted to see Patrick home. Dry-tongued locals? They'll be like flies around shite this evening, all trying to squeeze a free pint out of him.
You seem to be always chatting to that Sean fella. So the few acres he has wouldn't be much of a catch for the daughter of an established businessman.
Aye, a fine established businessman's daughter in a high-end bar. Sean Grant is one of the most kind-hearted men I've ever passed through your door.
Aye, he's a strange buck, and a tempered on him to go with it. Too much time in the mountain air on his own. Them mountain goat men go wild when they come in here.
Go wild, is it? It would have nothing to do with the large volume of porter you put down their necks when they come in here.
Enough of your smart chat. We'd better get this place ready. I'm sensing it's going to be busy. I feel it in me guts.
Well, that glass is well ready. You've been polishing it now for the last hour and a half. Feeling it in your guts. That's yesterday's cabbage and purties.
Ah, good evening, gentlemen. And what are yous all having?
Ah, Jesus, O'Flaherty. Will you give our tongues a chance to get in the door and our arses rest on the stools for a while?
I'd stand for a while and give those arses a rest if I was yous bucks.
Good evening, Paddy. Glad to see you are your pleasant self this evening as usual.
Have them Grant boys been in yet?
Aye. Aye. In and gone. Bought drinks for everyone before they left.
I thought I told you we should have been in sooner. Us like three fools watching a rabbit hole this last hour.
Now, now, boys. Paddy's only winding you up. The Grants haven't been in yet.
All right. Here, young Patrick has a fiancée with him. A well-to-do woman. A Yank solicitor.
A solicitor? Like the ones you get a letter off from the dole.
Aye. You better not tell her a thing if she comes in tonight. If you tell her you had two cows, you'll get fuck all dole.
Those two cows are my mother's.
Ah, come on. How could a woman getting a blind pension keep two cows?
A very warm welcome to yous all.
How are you doing? This is my fiancée, Paige Kennedy.
I'm very pleased to meet you. You must have some Irish blood in you with a name like Kennedy.
Those two cows belong to my mother.
Enough of your sweet shite, O'Flaherty. Mine's a pint of porter.
3 pints of porter, a glass of wine, and a round for these men too.
Ah, God bless you, Patrick, and the lawman. Your father was a great man.
What were you three gobshites looking into that rabbit hole all day for?
So, that would be 4 gobshites if you were looking at us.
Speak like that again and you'll be in the rabbit hole.
Is it true, Patrick, that the money's great in America?
You can earn more in a week than you would in a year in this place.
And I'm sure you work hard and no sin to enjoy yourself when you're at home on your holidays.
How do you do? I'm Patty.
Hiya, Patty. I'm Paige, Patrick's fiancée, all the way from the USA. Is this your guest house? Hotel?
Guest house? With these fine guests?
Have you worked here for long?
Once the child's bottle was out of my hand, they switched it to serving a porter bottle.
You seem to have a poor view on these guests.
Perhaps I'm a wee bit sore on them. I suppose their thirst keeps a roof over my head.
You're only young. Don't you want to travel and perhaps see the world?
Sure, who would look after him? And who would watch the pub?
Sorry, watch the pub?
Look after the business affairs.
Oh, I see. Do you know Sean Grant?
I do. Sean's a good fella.
He seems very deep, old for his years.
Sean will tell you himself. He's as deep as the old River Finn. He says I'm like a river too. I twist and turn, and God help anyone when I overflow. And what about Patrick? Oh my God, that is some stone.
Yes. Patrick bought it for me for my engagement ring. He insisted that everyone would be able to see the rock that Patrick Grant's intended wife would have on her finger.
It's lovely. You must love it.
To me, it's a ring. I'd have been as happy with a smaller one. Perhaps Sean will buy you a rock someday.
The only big rock Sean Grant's looking for is the big rock to fill the hole in the ditch in the top field where his sheep keep crossing out onto Mahan's bog. Me and Sean aren't like that. I mean, we're not a couple or going out or anything like that.
But you like him?
I haven't the time to listen to all his daydreams. And him devoting his life to every sick or wounded animal he finds.
He and Patrick are so different. Not like brothers at all.
Maybe you're with the wrong brother.
Not like brothers at all.
You'd never get the likes of Sean Grant to go to America. Uncle Tom would never get into a plane.
Ah, Jesus. There's Wiggy. He's coming down the road with the new wig in him. The one he ordered in Ireland's own. The postman pushed it through the leather box when he wasn't home. I got stuck in the leather box and the dog was in the house. He thought it was the cat. When he saw the hair sticking out of the package, well, when we were winging at home, the dog had it in 2 halves. He fixed it. I mean, he tried his best to fix it anyway, with a blue cord going through it. Not a word, boys. He's coming in now. Shut up.
Good evening, sir. Are you from America too?
No, I'm not. Boys, that's me, Wiggy.
She's making a mess of herself.
Jesus, wouldn't recognize you at all, Wiggy. It takes years off you.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, I've a fierce thirst of the day. There's a wild heat. It's almost like the heat you'd get when you're wearing a hat on a summer's day.
What the fuck have you in your head, Wiggy? It looks like someone tied a dead cat in your head.
How do you know it was me?
Your feet. The red patch on the Argyle, give it away.
Oh, I should have worn them on the other foot. That would have thrown you off the scent. Here. Who's the strange woman?
She's from the Department of Agriculture. They're checking up on people tonight.
Oh, sure. I'm safe enough. She won't know me with a wig.
Paige, this is the one and only Wiggy. Wiggy, this is Patrick's woman.
Very pleased to make your acquaintance.
Oh, pleased to meet you too.
Wiggy is an unusual name.
Aye, I'm called after my father. God rest him. He was called Wiggy too, aye. Not a hair in his head either. One says he was born like that. Aye, he was a big, tall man. Oh, clever too, fierce clever. Though not great at the books, mind ye. He was illegitimate.
Pardon?
Illegitimate, aye. The teacher says he was illiterating.
Oh, I see. Illiterate.
Aye, as illegitimate as the day was long. Is America a big place?
Yes, I suppose it is.
Would be a job finding a cow if she broke out then.
Yes, I suppose it would.
Here, would you have a sister?
Well, I'm an only child. I guess my parents thought I was enough.
Aye, as my poor father used to say, God rest his soul, one good one is as good as 10 bad ones. Sure, look at the Burnses. 10 of them and wee Charlie is only one good for anything.
I guess you're right, Mr. Wiggy.
Aye, wee Charlie.
Hey, Wiggy, there's a pint for you over at the bar.
I'll be seeing you, woman.
You're going to get great value for your money here tonight, not having to pay to watch a show like this.
What about the lamb in the box? Will it live?
Aye, I'll feed it again when I'm home. Sit down with it a wee while. See, it's only while young, and they get frightened easily.
You mean you'll stay up late tonight and watch over it? Won't you be tired in the morning?
If I get the wee bugger to make it to the morning, it'll have a good chance. As many a night I sat with them, and for some reason, at the dawn of the day, they just give up the will to live.
Oh, that's so sad. You're so kind, Sean.
Perhaps I'm a fool. The ones I save are cripples, and they torture me for years. And everyone knows when you try to gather a flock, the pets are the one that leads them the wrong way. And when Mammy's flowers are eaten, it's my pets who are the culprits.
I think it's cool what you do.
Maybe Patrick's right. A field full of cripples has no value.
What do you value, Sean?
I value time. Time on a summer's morning, walk up to the top field, the smell of the white hawthorn hanging in the air, the magical light as the sun dances and reflects through the cobwebs. Sounds of the birds singing. All the lambs lying content beside their mothers. And the silent nod of approval from Uncle Tom, sitting in the corner as I lift the latch and return. No words spoken. Just a silent signal that all is well outside and all is well inside too.
I wish Patrick could share your view.
The world would be a boring place if we all were the same. Patrick's driven. He grew up with nothing. And even as a wee boy, he swore he would have money someday and show everyone. And today he has.
Why are you so different?
Well, with money, Patrick can buy what he wants. I don't need money to buy what I want.
Maybe money can't buy everything that Patrick wants either.
Another round, O'Flaherty.
It's fair play to you, Patrick. It's great to see you home.
Aye, be great if you could come home more often.
And Patrick, what a fine ring you have in your finances finger. I say, cost you fair bit.
That ring would pay for a farm around here.
Bob, I'd say more grass will grow on that rock than in your stony air field. It would hardly graze them two cows you got.
I'll have you know that those two cows of mine are the greatest two cows in the area.
I thought were your mother's.
Aye, and a fine catch I am with the two great cows
God! Is that a rodent?
No, it's only Wiggy's cap. Here's your cap, Wiggy.
I'll have you know, it's the finest horsehair wig all the way from China.
Last orders now, gentlemen, please.
They can't say Patrick Grant didn't pay his way tonight.
Oh, I'm fine, Patrick. I had a lovely evening on my own.
And how are you doing, wee fella? And your wee belly as full as Uncle Tom's with a porter. I think Uncle Tom might need to go into recovery box in the morning.
The animals seem to trust you. They're at ease with you.
It's the same with animals and humans. If you're kind and help them, they trust you and they're easy in your company.
I guess you're right, Sean Grant.
Do you want a mug of tea?
No, thank you. I think I've gone over my limit with strong beverages for tonight. What's that on the wall?
Which now?
That.
Oh, that's, it's a wee poem I wrote a while back. There was a competition going on in Ireland's own. Sure, I ended up winning the bloody thing. Mammy framed it. Typical proud mother.
You write poetry? That's amazing, Sean. Can I read it?
I suppose you can.
Oh, Sean, that's amazing.
Well, at least one of us thinks so.
No, Sean, it really is. Do you have a direction in life? I mean, do you know what you want?
When I open the door latch in the morning, I find my direction whatever way the strong wind blows me. Some days it blows that hard, I think I'll end up in America.
No, I mean, what are your dreams? What do you want out of life?
When you grow up here, you don't have dreams. Dreams can wreck a man.
Patrick has dreams. He grew up here.
Money buys Patrick's dreams. The more money he has, the more his dreams come true.
Was he always like that?
From the day he was born. I remember when our father died. I was only 6. Patrick was 8. We hadn't much money. And the burden of a funeral to pay for on my mother was tough. On top of the loss of her husband. I remember the undertaker calling and there being a discussion about the coffin. The price range varied. I was a wee boy and I said to Mammy, sure, Daddy doesn't know what box he's in. But Patrick stood up and made himself as big a man as he could and he said, aye, but the neighbours will.
Oh my God, you poor little souls.
Little souls, aye. Poor in Patrick's eyes, no. The neighbours cut 3 days of turf for us that year. One for the house and 2 to be saved and sold. Patrick's idea. He cut the turf that summer and I helped him. Well, the best a 6-year-old could. And in September, the undertaker was paid with the money we got for the turf. Daddy was buried in a nice oak box.
Don't you like nice things?
Well, I do, but you see, I don't need money to buy the nice things in life that I want. Maybe Patrick's money and the things he bought have attracted nice things.
Do you think I'm after his money?
No, but I heard that some women can be flattered by a man with money.
Yes, I guess you are god darn right.
And what's your dream?
Oh, I have dreams to become who I am, my career, meet the right person, have a family one day. The same dream everyone has.
And how are you doing with that dream?
I was doing quite nicely.
Was doing?
I was in control and now I'm not sure.
What has changed?
Life has a strange way of turning things on its head. It throws people into your path and makes you question yourself.
It sure does.
Some men go out of their way to impress women, and then others just don't have to. The simple, silly things are enough to make you notice them. Even a kind gesture, like wiping an old man's mouth before he goes to bed.
Jesus, you couldn't let Uncle Tom flood the place.
It's a gentle, caring act.
You belong to my brother.
I am no possession of Patrick Grant's.
You're to be married.
Yes, and part of me hates you, Sean Grant, for invading my dream.
You know nothing of invading dreams.
when someone like you, who I have never seen the likes of before, appears, your perfume filling the room has the same scent as a white hawthorn on a summer morning. And I know that when I fall asleep tonight, your face will be the last thing I see before I shut my eyes. And it'll be the first thing that I see when I wake in the morning. And God knows about the time in between. If I could remember my dreams, you'd probably fill them too.
I didn't know you felt this.
It's wrong. And as Father Maguire says, you can sin with the eyes too.
I'd be more concerned with sins of the flesh.
I took a toy of Patrick's once. A wee blue car. I hid it. He thought it was lost. I actually lost it myself and I never got it back. So it was lost to both of us. I never told him I took it. To this day. And I regret it.
I am not a toy. I don't belong to Patrick.
Do you think I would put my brother through this in front of his family and have the whole village talking about Sean Grant stealing his brother's wife-to-be?
So all of a sudden, Sean Grant has an image to live up to for the neighbours.
I will not have them hers chatting and sniggering behind my back any time they see Mammy or Uncle Tom.
And what about you, Sean?
I don't care about myself.
Maybe that's where you go wrong. You don't care about yourself.
My father always said, you made your bed, lie in it.
Would you lie in a bed with me, Sean?
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, woman, what kind of chat is that?
Would you?
Aye, I would. Jeez, Father Maguire will be flat out in the confession box next Saturday when I tell him that.
Oh my God, you would tell him about our conversations?
No, I'd only tell him a few original ones, nothing serious. Just enough to get me 3 Hail Marys. Our conversation tonight will give me 3 rosaries.
Sean, would you come and help me? I have a cow calving. My mother was watching her share and she went to the bingo and she drank a whole bottle of gin. It'd be a week before she wakens.
Have you any help? Where's the other box?
The hooers fell through the hedge on the way home and they're still up there on Oyen's Bray.
Have you Wiggy?
Wiggy's there with a light, that's all. He's good for sure. I had to leave him with the light and come to yours, for he's afraid of the dark. I left him with the cow.
I'll go with you, so. Paige, I'll be back in a bit.
Hello, little fellow. Daddy will be back in a while. He's just gone to help his buddies. You'll just have to wait for him. Tomorrow, we'll go up to this top field he keeps talking of early in the morning to smell the white hawthorn. And if you're well enough, you can play in the grass, and Sean and I will sit and have a picnic underneath the hawthorn tree. That's if we have time in the morning. Is everything okay?
Cow's a proud mother to a lovely blue heifer calf. We had a bigger pull with the 2 bucks out of the hedge.
Oh my God, that is wonderful, a baby girl. It's so obliging of you to go out at this time of night to help your buddies.
Well, you never know when I would need to go out and knock at their door late at night myself for some help.
Well, it's a mighty kind thing for you to do.
Had you the lamb out of the box?
Yes, I checked on him.
That's a mighty kind thing to do, ma'am.
It's getting late. I think I'll retire for the night. Good night, Sean.
Good night, Paige. We might see you tomorrow. You'll have a long journey ahead of yourself.
I have a long journey ahead of me for the rest of my life.
Well, hello, wee fella. Mammy is tired and gone to bed. Tomorrow morning, if you're well enough, we'll go up to the top field and you can play in the grass. Your mammy and me will sit and have a picnic under the white hawthorn tree. That's if we have time before they leave in the morning.
Is that your stomach rumbling or the lamb's I hear?
That's mine. I'm in the worst of bad form.
I have no sympathy for you down in that pub to the early hours.
sure be too bad if we could celebrate Patrick's good fortune.
Good fortune, is it? Good wallet of money, you mean?
My stomach is in bits. I might need a few of those apostrophes off the doctor.
Apostrophes? You mean suppositories, you old fool.
Aye, that them.
Well, I won't be putting them in for you.
I got Wiggy the last time I had to use them.
The same Wiggy who ate his suppository, thinking it would help his sore eyes and had to be rushed to Letterkenny Hospital.
Aye. He cried for 3 days. Them things must work on both ends.
Did everyone see Patrick and Paige in the pub?
Aye. The boy made sure no one was dry.
Did you make sure that everyone knew Paige was a solicitor?
I told him she was from the Department of Agriculture. They were wild fear of her. She spent a good bit of the night speaking with young Sean.
Sean?
She was probably interested in all his wee critters out in the field.
Oh, she never seen wee lambs before, sure.
God, if the boy's father, my brother, was around to see how well Patrick is doing, I tell you.
He loved his boys. If God had only left him on this earth a while longer, things wouldn't have been as hard for me and the boys.
You did a fine job with them, Betty. You reared them well.
Our lives were only beginning, but it was God's will to take him.
Well, sir, you look as shook as a hand at mass.
I think I got a bad pint. You couldn't trust that, O'Flaherty.
Ah, one bad out of 15 isn't too bad.
No wonder his belly is rumbling like an owl yo. Suppositories. It's a cork he needs.
Will you make an owl fry for the Yanks before they leave?
You sitting there whining, ready to explode, and now you're looking for a fry?
It's the young ones on a long trip that I'm thinking of. Hard to believe they've been here a week already.
Did the ones in the pub like Paige?
Aye, sure. What's not to like about Paige? She's a lovely girl.
Did they know she was educated?
Well, they believed that she was from the Department of Agriculture, so I'd say so.
Even fools know education.
I might take that lamb out of the box today.
Don't move him till the visitors go. You'll make a mess in the house.
Aye. Sure, let Paige say goodbye to him. She seemed to get attached to it.
It'll be good for him to be free, out doing what he wants. Away from you and your old gibberish.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Do you want tea?
That would be lovely. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'll be all right once I get the apostrophe in.
Are you writing something?
No, I've pain in the old stomach.
Sean?
Edge?
We had a big night. We left our mark.
Aye. Plenty of men with sore heads today.
That's a fine thing to be remembered by.
Aye. That old drink is the curse.
It depends on whose mouth it's in.
Come on now, sit down for your tea. You can't beat a good cup of tea in a china cup.
What time is the cab booked for, Patrick?
10 o'clock. I might bring the cases out to the gate and get some Minuscabane air into my lungs before I go.
How is the lamb doing today?
Oh, he's fine. I'm going to set him free later.
Oh my God, that's wonderful.
He just needs to be careful, for these wee boys have lived in a box all their lives. Could be eaten by a cunning fox when they get out.
That's a chance we'll have to take.
Will his mother take him back?
Times they do, but times they reject him. And nothing as bad as when your own flesh and blood turn on you.
He might be better off without them.
How are you, Sean?
I'm not too bad, Paige.
We'll be gone today at last. Not bothering you anymore. Out of sight for good.
There was no bother at all. Out of sight for good. Out of sight, but not out of mind, as they say.
Sean, do you want me to stay?
Paige! The cab is here!
Goodbye, Sean.
What kind of damn fool are you, Sean Grant? Why could you not just say yes? Standing there like the fool that you are. One word, yeah. But no, no, the stuttering fool that you are, you couldn't even say it.
Safe journey.
You didn't come out to say goodbye? I suppose it's hard to see your brother go.
Aye. My brother.
I heard the cuckoo call this morning. Lovely to hear and to look at. But you know, boy, those nice birds that come to visit the country for a while, they would never be able to live here all the time.
The shackles of soil around my feet stop my travels, no sweetheart to meet. Sweat and soil seeps through my pores, quenching any flame that roars, drowning a young man's chance to soar. Your burns and drains are my veins, your cold heavy clay is my skin. Claiming a young man's life is your son, whose sentence began when his eyes did open, a life doomed. A cycle unbroken. You hold my feet to the mossy ground, to my birthplace I am forever bound. Years will pass, and old I will get. The burden of wasted youth I will not forget. Rough worked hands, rosary beads wrapped around, neighbours gather, not a sound. A man of the cloth will sprinkle clay. The crowds will scatter, and go on their way. No wife's name will be etched on my stone, for you see, I spent my life alone. No heir to sit upon my throne, my harvest light, my crop unsown.